Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Parents, students, and teachers are filled with anxiety as the start of school is only 5 weeks away. That would be pretty normal this time of year. But this fall will be very different, especially in the face of the pandemic, which has the provincial government and school boards grappling with the health and safety of children and staff. The provincial government wants to assure us everyone will be safe. Meanwhile, parents are concerned, unions are concerned, advocates like Sick Kids Hospital are also expressing concern. And there is evidence of how wrong things can go, as we watch as other jurisdictions in the United States and elsewhere face outbreaks as schools reopen. On today's show, Diane Lloyd, chair of the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board, talks about the province's plans and the preparations currently underway for September. She addresses many questions and concerns from parents, teachers, and others. Schools are not the only safety issue being raised these days. Cobourg Councillor Emily Chorley, who is responsible for parks and recreation, will talk about a water safety audit for the harbor. Councillors moving forward with an aquatic safety audit after user groups expressed deep dismay. She will tell us how those issues were addressed and what is happening next. But first, here is my conversation with Diane Lloyd, chair of the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board, as we discuss reopening plans for the local public schools. I'm pleased to have with me Diane Lloyd, chair of the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning.
Now, the Ontario government announced its intentions to reopen schools in the fall on July 30th. Where is the school board in terms of its preparations?
Well, we certainly have been preparing throughout the summer. We were told back at the, probably around the 1st of July, that we need to prepare three scenarios and that the ministry would let us know which one we were going to move forward with. So we've done that. So I think we were easily able to pivot to the one that they chose. And we have to do a lot of planning of how that will play out in each of our different schools. It certainly won't be all the same, and we should have a report ready on exactly what that will look like, maybe by the middle of next week.
Other school boards have considered alternative delivery models. One school board, a quadmester for high school students, there's been alternative day deliveries, all kinds of things like that. Are those options being considered by your school board?
Well, for the most part, the province have told us which model we should use. You know, in the beginning, we did look at alternative means of ways of putting kids in school with, you know, alternating days. But in the end, they've suggested that or told us that kids will go back to school full time. So the quadmaster that you're talking about, we will be doing that in our high schools as well. Students will only have two subjects a day instead of four. This allows us to keep the students and the same people in the room for a longer period of time and not have so much interaction by changing classes four times a day. And in elementary schools, of course, they're to go back full time.
Just summarize for us what the province has outlined in terms of what it expects when the fall starts.
Well, that's a big question. I mean, basically, that all of our students will go back to school full time. They did have different scenarios depending where you were in the province. So I think Toronto schools might be looking at alternate days. But here, where we live, that we've been asked to have our students back in school full time. And of course, they certainly talked to the provincial health authorities. I believe that even the ministry spoke to provincial health authorities, and they also spoke to Sick Kids Hospital. It was good that they had, you know, done this homework before they chose a model to move forward with, but there are still a lot of things that we have to look at and prepare for. You know, they've given us a list. It's quite an extensive list of measures that need to be in place from a safety point of view. And, excuse me, we will be, you know, we've been working since we heard last week about which model we were going to use to put a plan together that will be shared with our parents next week.
Unions representing teachers are calling for smaller class sizes of 15 or lower. Can our school board accommodate these small class sizes? Is it doable?
I think it's only doable if you have alternating days. Our buildings just aren't big enough to have 15 students in a classroom. That's not what we've had in the past. So we would have to have alternating days in order to have enough space. I mean, I have heard some people talk about or suggesting that we could rent other buildings in the community or hire more teachers. Even if we did have other buildings in the community, they're not set up as a school. So that would require a fair amount of work, and the cost of doing all of that would be quite a bit higher too. We have to follow ministry guidelines. Ministry guidelines have told us that we need to have all of our students going back to their own school.
Now, we've seen different configurations in classrooms, from desks with plexiglass surrounds to space out the desks. We've seen those kinds of examples. What options is the school board considering at this point?
Our students will need to wear masks from grade 4 through grade 12, and masks for our younger students are optional. I tend to think that parents will send their students, even the younger ones, to school with a mask. And I've seen young children wearing masks, and they seem to, you know, get used to it quite quickly. I think our children are more adaptable than we are in many ways. We certainly have to look at as much social distancing as possible. Of course, we can't do 6 meters in a school, you know, in a room full of students. We will work to keep each cohort of students together, so all of the students in one classroom with one teacher, and they won't interact with the rest of the school. We'll have to have deep cleaning in our schools every day. We'll have to have all of our hard surfaces continually wiped down. Probably arrows on the floors telling students where the, you know, the entrance and the exit are for school. It'll be very different than what our students are used to, for sure.
That must represent a lot of education for the students and for the faculty to get used to this new system. What plans are in place to help educate parents and students and teachers for such things as you just talked about?
A lot of that will come out next week, and I don't mean to keep putting you off, but it's better that we take the time to think this through and tell you exactly what will be done moving forward, rather than to make suggestions now and then have to tell you a week from now that we had to alter them in some way.
Understood. Are there going to be more people cleaning? Are there going to be more staff hired for this? I know that there's been talk about maybe public health nurses being hired. Have you heard anything or are taking any steps to hire more people?
I think we have known from the beginning that we would need to hire more cleaning staff. I don't think that, you know, the schools that might have a janitor or a part-time janitor, depending on the size of the school, would be able to handle the amount of cleaning that we have to do now. And even in our bigger schools, you know, where a few people might have handled it, they're not used to deep cleaning every day. So I don't see how we could move forward without having more cleaning staff. The ministry did, I believe they put 900. I think the number they gave was 900 more cleaning staff. I don't know that that's going to be efficient when you think that at Kawartha Pine Ridge, you know, we have 70 schools, and we're a medium-sized board out of 70 boards, out of 72 boards. So I don't know how that would work. So we have to look at that and try to determine how that will look in our schools. It's the same thing with public health nurses. It's a great idea. At one time, there was always, you know, a nurse in a school. But when you think about it, the number they gave was 500. That wouldn't even begin to cover the schools in Toronto. So I'm not in the Toronto area, in the GTA area. So I think that we have to really look at this closely and figure out what it means to us and what it will mean in our schools. And again, you know, hopefully we can speak to that next week.
There's no doubt that there's a lot of anxiety from parents and teachers regarding the reopening. First, let's talk about the parents and caregivers. What is the feedback you're getting from them, and how is that impacting your plans?
For the most part, the feedback that I've received has been around concerns about what sending all of our students back to school will look like, what safety protocols will be in place, what will we do if, you know, if somebody is sick, what would we do if a staff member got sick? What if, you know, I mean, there's just things we have to think about, how we would contain that and how we would move forward. I think parents want to feel that all of these things have been well planned and that their children will be safe at school. And again, you know, that's what we're working on now, and we should have this document next week.
Let's talk about the teachers, though, a bit. What is their response? Have you been hearing from staff directly? And how are you dealing with their concerns?
I've heard a little bit from staff directly, but for the most part, they tend to speak through their local representation with their unions. I think they are concerned, as all of us are, about their own safety in a classroom. You know, people talk about children not being as susceptible to the virus, but there are adults in the building too. So those adults are concerned. There's also concerns with, you know, children who might pick up the virus and take it home to people who are maybe not well within their own homes or within the community as well. So they have those kind of concerns, and we will have to think very carefully about how we deal with that. And I really don't have an answer for you today. I am sorry to keep saying that, but we just really have to do our homework first.
But these are all things that are part of the mix of what you're considering as you're putting this plan together?
Yes, of course.
So have you heard from students at all? I'm thinking now maybe senior students in high school level, that have they reached out to you at all?
We have heard a little bit from students, and mostly that would be from student representatives or the student leadership within schools. They have a lot of concerns about what this will look like as well, what will be available within their schools. They see things differently than perhaps the adults that are involved would. They want to know whether or not we will be able to have, you know, sports or clubs or all these things that make school fun. And again, you know, we will have something to say about that next week.
We don't hear a lot about busing, and a large portion of students in this board are bused. How many depend on busing, first of all, to get to school? Do you know?
I don't have an exact figure, but I would estimate it at about 24,000.
So
out of our total board.
So out of that number, I mean, busing must be another large concern. How is that being dealt with? Is that something you deal with, or is that the contractor? How does that get worked out?
We indirectly deal with it. I mean, the busing companies are arm's length from the school board, but by the same token, they work with us to cover what our needs are because they're busing our students. There are concerns about buses and the close proximity of people on a bus. There's concerns, as there are within our schools, around cleanliness on the bus and making sure that buses can be deep cleaned as well or constantly cleaned. There's just a lot of things to figure out about how we will do that. Originally, they said that students would sit on every other seat, and children from the same family could, of course, sit together because they're at home together as well. At this time, I'm not sure what that's going to look like or whether, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know right at this point whether that would mean more buses or whether we figure out a way to keep students safe on the bus and use all of the seats. So, again, we'll have to hear a little bit more later.
I know that one of the options is that parents can keep their children at home, and I've seen both in social media and from talking to people that they can choose to have the students participate in online learning while staying at home. Now, back in March, everyone was sort of thrown into the online learning situation. What has the board learned about online delivery since then, and will it be different come this fall?
I think we've learned a lot about online learning. I think that we've had conversations with our teachers and staff and you know, the conversations that they have with their students, and we've been able to work at making online learning better for our students. That will continue, you know, in the fall for the parents who choose online learning. You know, it's never going to be as good as being in a classroom with a teacher and all of your other classmates. But I think that we've done well with it, and I think that we will continue to do well with it for the students who make that choice.
I know when I talked to you previously, when we were talking about what took place in the winter and spring, there was some collaboration between the school board and others outside of the school board to provide services to parents and children, libraries and things like that. Can we expect that there will be similar collaborations as we come into the fall?
If you know, if they were part of online learning, that's what I'm assuming that you're heading towards, that if they were at home and they didn't have a library, that some of these things were put in place to help those students, then I would say that it would continue, keeping in mind all the time that wherever students are getting help from has to be a very safe place. You know, we have to ensure that it's somewhere that does adhere to this constant cleaning and mask wearing and sanitization and all of these things that, you know, that need to be in place to make sure that that our students don't pick up or carry or get the virus in any way.
We've seen other places where schools have opened and there have been outbreaks. We see this in the news. I saw a story earlier this week where an elementary school in Mississippi opened, and within a week there were more than 100 children becoming ill. What can you say to parents to allay their anxiety about going back to school?
You know, we're certainly aware of what's happening in other places. You mentioned Mississippi. I think Georgia is another state that went back to school quite early in, within 2 or 3 days. I think they had a lot of cases of the virus. People need to look at how that virus is being handled in those locations. It's been very different in the United States depending on where you are, and unfortunately sometimes almost what your political beliefs are. So they don't have, like in Canada, we've been very good at controlling this virus as much as it can be, because people have understood that it's a pandemic, that it's a medical issue, that we all have to work together to overcome this. So we haven't had the same backlash of people not wanting to participate in mask wearing and sanitizing. I'm not saying that there haven't been exceptions, there certainly have. But I think that if you look at the rates of infection and deaths per capita in Canada versus United States, that you'll easily see why we would have a better chance of being successful at sending our students back to school.
Will you have the power to close a classroom down or a school if it's necessary?
If a student within a class becomes sick with a virus, that whole classroom, including the teacher, would have to isolate. So I would say for the time it takes to ensure that everybody's safe, that we would probably revert to distance learning to cover that space of time. I mean, we wouldn't just let the virus, you know, continue to grow within a classroom if we know it's in there.
But you have that power to do that. It's not like you'd have to go to the health unit or to some outside agency to close that down. You have the ability to do that.
We involve the local health unit in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had a case where a student or a teacher became ill within a classroom, you know, they'd be one of our first calls. I mean, the first thing you have to do, of course, is isolate the person that's sick and do what you can to get that person out of the atmosphere of the school. But I mean, the next call has got to be to the local health department, and we would work with them to do what's best.
Now, when the ministry was preparing these reopening plans, was the school board itself consulted by the minister or the ministry?
We were asked to prepare 3 scenarios and to tell them how those three different scenarios would roll out in our board, which we did. That was shared in a telephone conference. But as far as asking us, I'm just trying to think of it, we certainly would have said within that presentation that we might have, what our parents were thinking, because we did survey our parents. So our parents at that time had leaned towards the alternated every other day with alternating Fridays. But we didn't have, other than telling the ministry what we found out, we were not consulted as a big group to come in and make the decision, you know.
How much are the trustees involved in all of this planning? I have no doubt that staff are very, very, very busy. Besides yourself, what are the trustees saying, and how much are they involved in this decision making?
The trustees are involved I would say almost daily, because we hear continually from parents in the community. That's what we were elected to do. You know, we hear from our parents, we hear from the community about concerns and questions. We take all the questions that we have back to staff. Staff get together and design a plan on how we're going to move forward, and would bring that back to trustees. This is something where staff, all of us, work with the ministry to ensure that we're doing the best job we can come September. This isn't something where the trustees could say, well, you know, I don't like what the ministry's saying, so we're not going to do it. We wouldn't want to do that, I wouldn't think, unless they were asking us to do something that was so obviously wrong. You know, obviously wrong. I mean, we get our direction from the ministry, and whatever they tell us has been the final decision, we will work to make sure that that happens within our system.
But is there not a component of this, though, that has to be unique to our area? I mean, even within the board, you have different areas with different needs and different demands, different combinations of rural and urban and incomes and classes and demographics. I mean, surely there must be something that
all of those things, so, all of the things that you mentioned can make a difference. And I think that's why the ministry has put a different scenario out for more urban areas, or basically urban areas like Toronto, than they did for Kawartha Pine Ridge or some of the smaller boards. All of the things that you mentioned need to be considered. And even though we were pleased to get the plan that we're going to have to work with, we now have to look at each school based on all of the things you just said to see how that plan will fit into that school and make adjustments, you know, to make sure that it does work.
Now, you've talked a little bit about communication, the way that parents and messages get delivered up to the board and the board communicate back down to parents and young people. Communications at a time like this are so critical. Are there any plans being made to enhance channels between parents and children and the board and teachers come this fall? Are you having a special communication strategy just going into this fall?
Our communication strategies with our parents is really quite good. And I can't think of the name of the system that we use right now, but we are fairly easily able to contact our parents or to get parent perspective if that's what we're looking for, like through a survey or through some communication directly from the board. I don't see that we need to change that. I think that we're well able to communicate with all of those players with what we've always done.
You mentioned already that you hope to have a final plan available next week with details. What's next for you then, once that plan gets out? What happens after that?
Well, I suspect that there'll be many questions from our public and probably from students as well, you know, trying to understand exactly what's going to happen. Once the plan is out there, then of course all of the work becomes making sure that it's properly in place for the first day of school. And then we just, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. We're in very unusual times right now. Everything is new. Things change daily. You have to be prepared for that. Right now, the virus seems to be reasonably controlled in Ontario, and we're moving forward to reopen things and to get things back to normal. But you never know when that could change. So I think we have to be moving forward with the plans that we've made, and we always have to be ready to tackle any other issue or change that might come up.
If I'm a parent or a grandparent or a student listening to this interview, what message would you like to leave with me to help quell my concerns and anxieties?
I think it's important that people understand that we know how concerned our parents and our community are, that we are doing everything we can do to ensure that every safety protocol possible is being put in place, and that we are planning for anything that could interrupt that, like a person getting sick in the school or any changes that might happen in the speed of the virus within the province, or just really, I mean, we are going to be very well prepared to bring our students into school and to do everything we can to ensure their safety. And I hope that parents understand that and know that if they're still concerned, they can call us, they can send an email, they can, you know, we want parents, this main communication that goes out next week will answer most of their questions, I'm sure. But if they still have concerns and they're still worried, I mean, that their teachers, our staff, are more than willing to have a conversation.
Diane Lloyd, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today. I hope when that new plan comes out next week, we can talk again and we can provide some more details to our audience. Thank you so much for speaking to me today.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Please do the same. That was Diane Lloyd, Chair of the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board, as we discussed the reopening plans for local public schools. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.